राम हरे हरे हरे
शुश्रुषोशब्दधानस्य वासुदेवकतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्. ओ ट्वाइस बॉर्न सेजेस, बाय सर्विंग दोज डिवोटीज हु आर कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल वाइस, ग्रेट सर्विस इज डन. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrunvatam svakatah krishnah punyashravanakirtanah hridayantastohyabhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nit त्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति नैष्टिकी.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Tada rajastamo bhavah kamalobadayaschaye cheta etair anaviddam sitam satve prasidati.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah भगवत् तत्वविज्ञानं मुक्तसंगस्य जायते.
Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
विद्यते हृदय ग्रंथिश चिद्यन्ते सर्व संशयाः क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Tirana Chadi Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Vrishnaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtachadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Verse 3.
Yantariksha Uvacha.
Ebir Bhutani Bhutatma.
Mahabhutair Mahabhuja. Sasarjo Chava Chanya Dhyā.
Swamatrama prasadaye.
Sri Antariksha Uvacha. Sri Antariksha said, A.B. by these Bhutani creatures, Bhuta Atma, the soul of all creation, Mahabhutai, by the elements of Mahatattva, Mahabhuja, O mighty arm king, Sasarja, he created, Ucha Avachani, both high and low, Adya, original person, Swa, by his own parts and parcels, Matra, sense gratification, Atma, self-realization, Prasiddhaye, for facilitating. Translation, Sri Antariksha said, O mighty armed king, by activating the material elements, the primeval soul of all creation has sent forth all living beings in higher and lower species so that these conditioned souls can cultivate either sense gratification or ultimate liberation according to their desire. Purport. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the illusory energy is explained in this verse through a description of her potencies, namely the modes of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has described Maya as Gunamayi, consisting of the material modes of nature. The material modes of nature are alluded to in this verse by the word Ucha Vachani, high and low species of life. Various species of life become manifest, as do varieties of beauty, ugliness, strength, weakness, and other characteristics within a particular species, according to the proportionate development of the modes of nature, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. This is due to the living beings' association with material nature in good and evil species. Similarly, we find this statement, Urvam Gachati Satvasta Madhya Tishtanti Rajasa Jaganya Guna Vritti Sta Ado Gachanti Tamasa. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. The three general divisions of material life are called Deva, Tirya, and Nara, that is demigods, subhuman creatures, and human beings. In the various species of life, there are various facilities for material sense gratification. Different species are distinguished by differently formed senses, such as genitals, nostrils, tongue, ears, and eyes. Pigeons, for example, are given the facility for almost unlimited sex. Bears have an ample opportunity for sleeping. Tigers and lions exhibit the propensities for fighting and meat-eating. Horses are distinguished by their legs for swift running. Vultures and eagles have keen eyesight and so forth. The human being is distinguished by his large brain, which is meant for understanding God. The phrase Sva Matra Ma Prasiddhaye is very significant in this verse. The word Sva indicates possession. All living beings belong to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, according to this verse, they have two options, Matra Prasiddhaye and Atma Prasiddhaye. Matra refers to material senses, and Prasiddhaye refers to effective accomplishment. Therefore, Matra Prasiddhaya means efficiently engaged in sense gratification. On the other hand, Atma Prasiddhaya refers to Krishna consciousness. There are two categories of Atma, the Jivatma, ordinary living being who is dependent, and Paramatma, the supreme living entity who is independent. Some living entities desire to understand both categories of Atma, and in this verse, the word Atma Prasiddhaye indicates that the material world is created to give those living entities the opportunity to achieve such an understanding and thus return to the kingdom of God, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Sridhar Swami confirms this by quoting a verse from the Veda Stuti of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bud Indriya Mana Pranan Jananam Asrajat Prabhu Matartam Cha Bhavartam Cha Ane Kalpanaya Cha. The Lord created the intelligent senses, mind, and vital air of the living beings for sense gratification, for performance of sacrifice to attain higher births, and ultimately for offering sacrifices to the Supreme Soul. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the actual purpose of the Lord's creation is only one: to facilitate the advancement of devotional service to the Lord Himself. Although it is stated that the Lord facilitates sense gratification, it should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not ultimately condone the foolishness of the conditioned souls. The Lord facilitates sense gratification so that the living entities will gradually understand the futility of trying to enjoy without Him. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. In the Vedic literature, the Lord gives a regulated program so that the living beings can gradually exhaust their tendencies to be foolish and learn the value of surrender unto Him. The Lord is undoubtedly the reservoir of all beauty, bliss, and satisfaction, and it is the duty of every living entity to engage in the loving service of the Lord. Although these are apparently two purposes for creation, it should be understood that ultimately the purpose is one. The arrangement for sense gratification is ultimately meant to bring the living entities to the single purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. Translation: Sri Antariksha said, O mighty armed king, by activating the material elements, the primeval soul of all creation has sent forth all living beings in higher and lower species so that these conditioned souls can cultivate either sense gratification or ultimate liberation according to their desire. So the request was to describe the illusory potency of the Lord, Maya or Prakriti. So here Antariksha, one of the nine Yogendras, he begins to answer this question, but he does not just begin by discussing the constituents of Prakriti, etc., but rather he shows, first of all, that the Prakriti is activated by the Supreme Lord. Without His intervention or without His inspiration, Prakriti can do nothing. So, of course, in the modern world, in like modern science, they believe that this Prakriti operates by itself. A big bang happens by itself, and then we have material world created, and they get and disappear. And again, big bang happens by itself. So nothing wrong with a big bang and the destruction and creation, etc., because the Bhagavatam also agrees with this. There is cyclic destruction and creation of material universes. Just as in modern world, a big bang, everything is created, finally everything collapses, then we have another big bang, and then everything was created, then finally it all collapses again. So it's very similar in that sense. Difference is that in the Bhagavatam version, after the destruction, it does not manifest by itself. It requires the intervention of the Lord. And thus we have a whole description of how Mahavishnu glances over Prakriti. Then it becomes activated. Then it starts producing. So by itself, it does nothing. What is explained here, that the Supreme Lord, and he's called Bhutatma, who is the soul of all, or the life of all the material elements and all the material bodies and all the beings, etc., he manifests them. Sasarja, he creates. Now he does not create Prakriti, because Prakriti is eternal. But he creates the elements that come from Prakriti, and or we can say he doesn't create them. He makes Prakriti manifest all the material elements which form into bodies and lokas for the living entities. So the universe as we know it is ultimately coming from Prakriti. But Prakriti cannot manifest this universe without Supreme Lord, His will. So therefore it says He glances over Prakriti. He looked at it. But usually the explanation of looking at means He simply wills it to happen. He doesn't even have to look at it. He can just simply say Prakriti should start manifesting something.
And then Prakriti begins to manifest in the material world. Huh?
So in other words, it's, Prakriti is dependent upon the Supreme Lord to manifest anything. But it's not created because it's eternal. Like the jiva, Prakriti is eternal. So, of course, one could argue, well, if it's eternal, then it's equal to the Supreme Lord. But no, it can do nothing on its own. It's not independent. And we can also argue back that ultimately its very existence is dependent on the Lord. It has eternal existence, but that is by the will of the Lord. And there's nothing beyond the Lord. So the Lord is also eternal, but there's no entity above the Lord that causes him to be eternally existing. But by the will of the eternal Lord, he makes Prakriti exist eternally. So in that sense, again, Prakriti is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So it manifests this material world, and it manifests many forms in the material world, which is here described by Ucha and Avacha, superior and inferior, which means many varieties of living bodies for the living entities, all manifested by the Supreme Lord through Prakriti. What is the purpose of this material world? For either satisfying your material senses or for inquiring about Atma. So we have a material purpose and a spiritual purpose. So we cannot condemn the creation of the material world and say the Lord shouldn't have created the material world at all, since it's a cause of suffering, because it has two purposes. One for enjoyment and one for getting out of the material world. And both are in response to the desire of the jivas. In other words, the material world is not created by the Lord for his purposes. Ultimately, of course, it is his purpose, but he does it only because of the jivas. And then once the jivas are in the material world, they can fulfill their desire to enjoy. So he does it because they want to enjoy, therefore let them enjoy. But of course, as is explained in the purport, the Lord doesn't like the jivas in ignorance trying to enjoy when it is futile. So therefore he also has another purpose of the material world, to get out of it. So it is not necessarily a bad thing, the material world. So generally we think of Prakriti as inferior energy of the Lord. It is ignorance, or tamasic, and no consciousness, etc. That's true. But within the material world, there is also variety. So we have gunas. So we have very bad gunas, that's tamagun. We have medium gunas, where you can enjoy nicely, rajagun. And then we have a very nice guna, sattvagun. And that's all part of the material world. But the Lord has very cleverly made this material world such that within the gunas itself, there's opportunity to get out of the material world, which sounds a little bit strange, because generally we think of Maya as being, you know, the prison warden or whatever like that, trying to keep you in the jail. But within Maya itself, there is, inbuilt into Maya, there is a way of getting out of the material world through sattva-gun. So, and then to aid that, then the Lord has processes like karma yoga to elevate you through the gunas to get to sattva-gun. So the nature of sattva-gun, even though it is material, is vidya, knowledge. So in sattva-gun, you can develop knowledge by which you can get liberation from the material world. So then material, not so bad after all. It can get you out. If you go to sattva-gun, then you can get out of the material world as well as staying in the material world. So therefore, we should not condemn the material world as simply a big trap. It also provides a way of getting out. Follow the right process, come to sattva-gun, you can get out of the material world. So Prakriti is a very ingenious arrangement of the Supreme Lord, by which jivas can get their own satisfaction if they don't want to listen to the Lord, And at the same time, they can also get out of the situation by coming to Sattvagun. Of course, that's not the end of the story, because we know that simply liberation is not enough. So beyond liberation, we have process of bhakti, but that is not part of the gunas. Sattvagun and the process of jnana and yoga to get out of the material world are part of sattvagun. So vidya is vidya and avidya are part of sattvagun, in the sense that vidya means knowledge to understand your atma and get liberation. So that's part of sattvagun. Bhakti is not in sattvagun. So bhakti is not inherent in the gunas or in prakriti itself, like atma jnana is inherent within sattvagun. But bhakti is not. It's nirguna. It's beyond the gunas. So it is a completely different process from these other arrangements of the material world in the gunas. So the question may arise, then, how can this bhakti exist in the material world at all? So the answer is that it's like the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord also comes in the material world, and he's always present in the material world as Paramatma and all the jivas in the material world. He's Garbhadakshay Vishnu in the material world, lying in the Garbhadak ocean. He's Paramatma, and he's in the milk ocean also. And so he's there present within the material world also. And he comes as avatar also and appears. So nothing wrong with the Lord coming into the material world. He's not affected by it at all. So bhakti is like that also. It comes in the material. It's not affected by the material world. Of course, we have mixed bhakti and all these types of bhakti. It's not that bhakti is contaminated. It's the jiva that's contaminated. That's all. So we also have nama bas, chanting with mixed desires. So it's not that the holy name is contaminated. It is the jivas that are contaminated. So we call it, contaminated bhakti or whatever. So in other words, it is like the sun. All right. So from our point of view, on a cloudy day, the sun does not appear so bright. It's not the sun's fault. The sun is always shining at the same intensity. And if you go up in an airplane above the clouds, then the sun is very, very bright. But from our point of view, with all the clouds there, then it looks something else. So like that, for each particular jiva, the bhakti or the holy name may look different and not so pure. But it's not that the holy name is contaminated. It's the jiva filtering the power of the holy name so that it takes on a different form. So in any case, it is all nirguna, beyond the material gunas. But not just nirguna, because bhakti and the holy name are sarup shakti of Krishna. So it's beyond just being, Brahman or something like that. It is actually part of the Lord's internal energy. So something very special. So because of that, it can take you beyond mere liberation, which Atma Gyan can do. It can take you up to liberation. But bhakti takes you beyond that to the spiritual world. So, but that's also manifest within the material world by the will of the Lord for the deliverance of the jivas. So therefore, the material world is created. It has some inbuilt mechanism through sattvagun for getting liberation as such. And then the Lord supplies bhakti, holy name, avatars, etc., to help the jiva go beyond the liberation and get to prema. So all of this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord for the benefit of the jiva, to give the jiva highest satisfaction. So therefore, the Lord cannot be accused of being indifferent or being cruel in making the material world. He gives opportunities to the jiva to get out of the material world. Unfortunately, we see that most of the jivas are covered up by a lot of ignorance. And it takes a long time, many, many, many births in different bodies, and then many, many births in human body, to even ask these questions about what is the purpose of life. It's a very long process for the jivas, which means that most jivas are very stubbornly attached to this mantra,
prasiddhaye, trying to satisfy their senses, and they don't want to do anything else. So the Lord leaves them in that position, and he satisfies them by giving them different bodies. But then again, it is not you get any body you want. You get the body by karma. You get what you deserve. You may want something, but you don't deserve it. So you don't get that. You get something else. So according to your activities from previous lifetimes, then you get a particular body and you enjoy in that particular body. So your enjoyment is also not unrestricted. It is restricted by the law of karma. But we see that within that law of karma, if you are intelligent in the material sense of the term, then you can manipulate things, and through your material karma, you can get the greatest enjoyment on Svargaloka or Brahmaloka. So if you're intelligent in the material world, then you can get maximum enjoyment out of the material world. And if you want, you can stay there forever. You can stay. But the Lord arranges the system in such a way that even though we have almost perfect existence on Brahmaloka, it's still not perfect. And therefore, an imperson on that stage is also very intelligent. Their intelligence is very fine on Brahmaloka. And therefore, they understand that this also is not perfection. So then they will ask those questions. No? Fortunately, we don't even have to get to Brahmaloka to ask those questions. So even on this planet, people begin to ask these questions also about who am I and why, what is a material world, etc., because of his experiences in this life and previous lifetimes. And even a person now can, with his intelligence, understand that it does not look too meaningful to go from body to body wandering around in this material world, up and down, according to one's karma. So, therefore, we can say that even the human intelligence is such that by arrangement of the Lord, with that intelligence and our experience, then we can come to a very good conclusion about the material world is not such a wonderful thing after all. So there's another arrangement of the Lord. He gives intelligence such that it can grasp the situation in the material world. So the Lord makes all of these arrangements for the jiva. And of course, if they want to stay in the material world, yes, fine, and they can go on forever, whatever. But then the Lord gives sufficient clues by which we understand this is not what the Lord really wants. So we use our intelligence, we use our experience, we observe things around us, and then we can come to this conclusion. And to help us in that direction, then we have scriptures to verify this is the material world is useless. And we have the devotees of the Lord to do that. So another arrangement of the Supreme Lord. In this way, gradually the jiva can use his human body and his intelligence to understand the whole purpose of this, understand what is prakriti, and understand his goal in prakriti, what to do now that he's here, what is his goal, how to get out. And to do that, of course, one needs some scriptural guidance. We cannot manufacture our own process. So we have here a whole nice discussion by the Navayogendras to teach us all about the relationship of the jiva to the material world and how much we have to understand in order to motivate ourselves to get out of this situation.
It is explained that, you know, there are two causes to get this material world for the living. This one is said that, you know, for enjoyment, another is said like for liberation. Lord facilitated. So how to understand this, you know, although, you know, living entities trying to enjoy the material world and Lord also facilitate, but still he doesn't enjoy. Actually, he doesn't enjoy, but although he wants enjoyment.
Well, this who says is the Maya. He thinks he's enjoying. Because he identifies with the body, and in the body there are mechanisms by which you get pleasure. We have a brain, we have senses, we have nerves, etc. And then a certain combination makes, oh, this is nice. And a certain combination, this is not nice, this is painful. So we prefer the pleasure to the pain. So therefore the jivas strive for that pleasure. And they think this is pleasure, because they're identifying completely with the material body.
Lord is making this arrangement for the living. Lord is making this arrangement.
He makes this arrangement because they want that type of enjoyment separate from the Lord.
So that means that that the kind of enjoyment living beings are expecting this material world, actually it's not enjoyment.
It's not enjoyment for the jiva.
Yeah.
It's an illusion of enjoyment in ignorance. But it satisfies the jiva, and therefore he's anadi bahirmukha. He never thinks anything else but just to, you know, eat, sleep, enjoy whatever in the material world, life after life after life.
But at the same time, Lord can make, you know, eternal enjoyment also in this material world. But why he's not making that arrangement? Lord can make eternal arrangement for the living entities. Anyway, they want, because by nature living, the soul is anandamaya. By nature. Then the material is not happening for the living entities.
Well, the only natural ananda is with the Lord, in relationship with the Lord. If we're devoid of that relationship with the Lord, you cannot have that natural ananda. So if you don't want to accept the Lord, all the Lord can do is make you have an artificial ananda. So therefore we have a material world with a false sense of enjoyment through identifying with the material body. Because constitutionally, jiva is servant of the Lord. So if we ignore that and we want enjoyment, then it cannot really take place in its true sense of the term.
Another thing, another question, like Maharaj said, by nature, those who are living in the material world, there are anadi as well as there are bahirmukha, means against the Lord. Now question is that the living entity who is against the Lord, how can he develop that attraction towards the Lord, because he's agonist completely.
Yeah. So how are they from antarmukha, bahirmukha to antarmukha? How do they change? How do they get out of that position? It's very difficult once they're caught into this bahirmukha thing, because ignorance, we could say,
normally changing from one face to another face.
If they get enough enjoyment in their body to keep them stuck there, like honey. And they keep a little bit of honey in this lifetime, so they say, okay, I'll get a little bit next lifetime, a little bit next lifetime. It's not sufficient, but at least it's enough to tolerate this body. So I'll try a little more next lifetime, a little more next lifetime, like that. So that's the position in the material. So difficult to get out of that position, but as you get to sattva gun, you become more detached from enjoyment. That's the nature of sattva gun. We're not so attached to them. And you can get an understanding, I'm not the body. That is part of sattva gun. Atmagyan. So if you get to sattva gun within the material world, you become detached from your body. And that's when you can start to go for liberation or whatever.
That means who is in complete mood of ignorance.
Difficult for him.
Because he's a bahirmukha.
Yeah. If he's in sattva gun, then he can get up to atma.
The atmagyana he gets.
Yeah.
He gets.
But if you get the mercy of the devotees, even if you're in tamagun, then you can start getting out. You can start turning. Yeah? So one method, of course, is the gradual method, get up to sattva gun, get atmagyana, and then get bhakti. Or the other is, whatever your mode of gunas as a human being, if you get mercy of devotees enough, then the jiva itself begins to accept faith in Supreme Lord. And so we bypass even atmagyana. But that takes mercy, 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 continual mercy. And devotees. Yeah, ultimately. Yeah. Agyata Sukrit starts with exact Sukrit, then we get faith, then we start the process of bhakti through mercy of devotees, and ultimately the mercy of devotees, the mercy of Supreme Lord.
Guru Maharaj, in this sloka, the Atma Prasiddhaye has been explained as self-realization or ultimate liberation.
Both.
But it has not been explicitly told that bhakti is the way out of this material world.
What's that?
Explicitly, it is not told that bhakti is the way out of the world. It is only talking about liberation and self-realization, atma prasiddhi.
Well, atmaka means atma in the sense of liberation, or it can also mean paramatma, supreme lord. So therefore, it can go for both. Huh? Atma can also mean supreme lord, Bhagavan even. So atma can be jiva, supreme lord, body, mind, so many things. So it can stand for both, as mentioned in the purport. Yeah, so if you get a higher body, then you can go for atma. And if you get a lower body, you go for enjoyment in the material world. But higher body for the devotee is not necessarily in sattva-gun. But for atma, again, definitely you have to be in sattva-gun. But for Supreme Lord, you could be in any gunas. You get mercy of the devotees, and then no matter what guna you're in, you can advance.
Maharaj, this word, bahirmukha, does it, because we understand that as long as we're in the material world, we are covered by avidya. We don't know the Lord at all. So bahirmukha, does it mean hatred and aversion towards the Lord? Or does bahirmukha mean that I'm not aware of the Lord and therefore I'm attracted to what I know, that is material senses?
Well, it's one is equal to the other in one sense. If we're ignorant of the Lord, it means ultimately we refuse the Lord. We refuse to accept His existence. And some of it may be in a negative sense. We hate the Lord and we don't want to have anything. Other may be neutral. We're just ignorant like that. Nevertheless, even that passive type of ignorance is also not good. It's still ignorance.
Yeah, because if it is active ignorance, I mean, in the sense that you don't want to cultivate a relationship with Lord, no matter what the Lord does, there is never a chance for the living entity to develop attraction towards Him. Like a person pretending to sleep.
Yeah.
No matter what Agyata Sukriti we provide, it's not ready to wake up. But if it is ignorance, not because of the desire to be ignorant, then all the Agnyata Sukriti actually starts working, that he's getting higher taste and he starts getting attracted. So how do we, the Bahirmukha? Yeah.
Well, for one who's, we can say, okay, the demons are in the worst position, let's say. So in one sense, no hope for them. But of course, there is also hope for them in a very, very gradual way, like Sishupala. And then gradually, then he got the mercy of the Lord and went to the spiritual world, etc. But it is a much more slower process. But even the arrangement of material nature can also help them somehow or other for the great demons. They get lower bodies ultimately. Then after they go through all the bodies, they come up to the human species again. And they're purified more or less of all that ignorance. And they can start off in a rather neutral position again. Then they can go either way. They can become demonic again. Or they can go the other way by influence or whatever. So, you know, it's not that they're fixed as demons forever.
Yes, Father. And you said the Lord knows that the ultimate happiness that a jiva can have is in relationship with Himself.
Mm.
And He sees that in the material world, the jivas don't have a relationship with Him. So He has given them various processes by which they can elevate. Now, when we take this jnana marg, now jnana does not automatically lead to bhakti. So if they get liberated, I mean, what is the Lord doing for the liberated souls so that they can also take up the process of bhakti? I mean, it seems
well,
that
we have persons like Sukadev.
He was
Atmarama. So he was on a liberated type of level. But he got the mercy of Vyasadeva and Krishna, and then he advanced further.
No, but those who have left the prakriti, and they're in Brahmajyoti now.
But he's still got a material body. He's still material.
No, not Sukadev. Like someone who is...
Oh, once they're in Brahman, it's very difficult. That's why we don't like the Brahman, that liberation. Of course, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I think Sanatana Goswami says there in the commentary, even then, sometimes they can get beyond that by the mercy of the Lord, but it's difficult once they've got into that position because they don't have any senses, they don't have any body. So how you can preach to them?
but the Lord is merciful. I mean, He would want...
Yeah, so He may help them, but generally they when they reach that stage, of course the demons go there also, so it's not a good position, so why should the Lord help them? Because they were demons, but He puts them into a liberation state.
Maharaj, regarding reading Bhagavatam, saying that you were saying that we have to focus on the complete Bhagavatam, Now we find that our acharyas are also selectively commenting only on the 10th canto, some of them, like Sanatana Goswami, Baldev Vidyabhushan. Yeah. It's only on the 10th canto that they comment, and which naturally makes the sadhakas, I mean, those who are practicing.
Well, I said also we do have emphasis on the 10th canto, and particularly they all glorify the five chapters in the Rasalila as the center of the Bhagavatam, and there's no denying that. So yes, there is, but it's not that because of that we reject everything else. So we have to take both, that's all. But there is a greater emphasis upon the pastimes of Krishna, and they're considered more relishable than just discussing material nature and paramatma and things like that.
So does it mean that we gain the philosophy from the remaining cantos, and for the pastimes...
But even in the 10th canto, there's a lot of philosophy also, so it's both. But definitely more philosophy, and also we can say the relationship with the material world and the Lord is more discussed in these other cantos, and how he operates within the material world.
One last question, Maharaj. Regarding devotees interpreting Bhagavatam yesterday, it's as you were saying, we will be fortunate if some senior corrects us when we are making a mistake. But now how do we handle the situation when we are a subordinate and we find that probably some senior is interpreting? Like, I'm asking it from the point of view, like, now those who get connected probably to the Ritviks. Mm. Now, they understand that this is a genuine process and it is working for them. But it is difficult for them to also understand that, they are actually deviating. Mm. So, because they are subordinates. So, what should they do? I mean, as a subordinate, when we find that our superior is deviating, or interpreting, what should we do? What is in our...
Well, you can go to another superior and point it out, I suppose. What is the relation between Prakriti Pradhan and something else? Some Mahatattva. Prakriti and Pradhan are synonymous, the same thing. Different words for the same thing, Pradhan and Prakriti. Mahatattva is the first transformation of Prakriti when the Lord glances and he injects the jivas into it. So it's manifest. Prakriti is unmanifest, or Pradhan is unmanifest. Mahatattva is the first manifestation of Prakriti.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The material world is created for two purposes, enjoyment and to get another material world. Liberation. So if we are taking the enjoyment perspective, what are the activities we are doing in the mode of ignorance and passion? It is ultimately leads to suffering only. So how we can say it is meant for enjoyment?
Well, the illusion of enjoyment. Well, we can say it's enjoyment in the sense that most jivas accept it as very nice. And if you try to tell them to give it up, they won't give it up. So in that sense, it's enjoyment. It's all subjective, of course, and it's all illusory, but it's because they identify with the material body, therefore they think it's enjoyment.
Second question, Maharaj. How individual soul can develop the desire of going back to Godhead? So what responsibilities he should take for...
It's accidental mercy, agata sukriti. We don't do anything, but we get mercy of devotees. Once we get faith, then we associate with devotees and hear the scriptures, and then we can start a practice of bhakti.
Maharaj, this material world is dirt matter. It does not have any gunas. Then how from dirt matters, three modes of nature is coming?
How?
Three modes of nature, character. Three modes of... matter.
It's inherent in matter.
But matter is dirt matter. It don't have any consciousness. It don't have any character.
So only by the instigation of the Lord, it manifests its gunas, and then it manifests the different elements like mahatattva, ahankara, senses, earth, water, fire, air, ether. All of this is manifested. It's potential in Prakriti, but it's not cannot manifest on its own, only by the inspiration of the Supreme Lord. And then the Lord sets up different laws by which it can interact, etc. And then it comes and turns into matter. So even then it cannot do anything without the jiva. The body cannot do anything without the jiva and the paramatma in the body also. It just disintegrates again.
So much other organs also. What is the components of spiritual body?
Very similar, but all spiritual.
Okay.
So you have senses, you can hear, you can see everything. So you have all senses, but it's all spiritual, indestructible, and not dependent upon material elements. No, it's matter is made up of three gunas. Yeah, just like it's made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then it's made up of all of this is part of ignorance, tamagun.
Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guram Vaishna Vangsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tang Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Nitanshan Vajasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Adyaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Vajasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Adyaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Vajasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adyaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Bhajate Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adyaita